بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the first pillar of Islam, Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then after that, we went through the second pillar of Islam, which is Iqam al-Salah. And we mentioned the meaning of Salah, the obligation of as-Salah, the various types of salawat, and some of the issues which are linked to the salah. And in this lesson we come to the three remaining arkanul Islam, the three remaining pillars of al-Islam. And they are wa ita'i zakah, wa sawmi ramadan, wa hajj al-bayt. To donate al-zakah, and to fast ramadan, and to perform the pilgrimage or Hajj to the house of Allah, Al-Ka'bah. And the first of these three is Az-Zakah. The meaning of Zakah in the Arabic language, it has two different meanings. It either means An-Nama wa-Ziyadah or At-Tahara. This is the meaning of Az-Zakah linguistically. Az-Ziyadah wa-Nima, Az-Ziyadah wa-Nama or At-Tahara. So the meaning of az-ziyada is to increase, to grow in something. And the meaning of at-tahara is purification. And az-zakah was only called zakah because whenever a person gives charity in the way of Allah, it purifies his wealth, at-tahara, and it increases his wealth, and this is az-ziyada. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ قَطْ. That charity, it will not decrease a person's wealth. It only increases it. And it increases it in its barakah. And my brothers, everything is in requirement of zakah. Zakah has to be given in everything. Meaning just as a person has to give zakah in his wealth, then he has to also give a zakah in his knowledge. And the zakah of knowledge is in teaching other people. So when a person teaches his knowledge and teaches it to the other people, then this purifies his knowledge and it increases his knowledge. And as for the meaning of az-zakah according to the fuqaha, according to Islam, it is malun makhsus min amwalin makhsusah li ta'ifatin makhsusah. It is a certain amount of wealth which is taken from certain types of wealth given to certain types of people. Az-zakah, عند الفقهاء في الاصطلاح, az-zakah according to the fuqaha, it is malun makhsus fi amwalin makhsusa li ta'ifatin makhsusa. It is a set amount of wealth which is taken from certain types of wealth and given to certain types of people. So zakah, from this definition we understand that zakah is not an obligation on every type of wealth which a person owns, every type of property. And also from this definition we understand that zakah is not given to every single type of person. Rather, there are certain types of people who are worthy of a zakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made az-zakah an obligation upon every single Muslim who fulfills the conditions. In many ayat in the Qur'an, I think over 82 ayat of the Qur'an, Allah mentions as-salah and az-zakah together. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ. Establish your salah and give az-zakah. I think over 82 times in the Qur'an. And this is because as-salah, it is al-ihsan ilallah. It is perfecting a person's worship and goodness to Allah. And az-zakah, it is al-ihsan ilal-makhluq. It is showing goodness and benefiting the rest of creation. And this is what our Islam has come with. Fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of creation. Haqqul khaliq wa haqqul makhluq. So as a Muslim, we are not allowed to fulfill the rights of the Creator and abandon the rights of creation. And neither are we allowed to fulfill the rights of the creation and abandon the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Fulfill the rights of Al-Khaliq بِالصَّلَاةَ and fulfill the rights of Al-Makhluq بِالزَّكَاةَ, with Al-Zakah. And also Allah said in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Take from their wealth sadaqah, charity. The meaning of sadaqah in this ayah is zakah. تُطَهِّرْهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. So you can purify them and you can purify their souls. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said to him, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, innaka ta'ti qawman min ahlil kitab. O Mu'adh, you are going to come across a people from ahlul kitab, al-yahud wal-nasara. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةَ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So the first thing which you call them to be should be that there is no deity worthy worship except Allah and I am His messenger. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ. So if they accept this from you and they obey you, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ. Then notify them that Allah has obligated upon them five prayers, five salawat in the night and the day. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ. And if they obey you in this, then he said, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Then tell them that Allah has obligated upon them the charity, meaning الزَّكَاةِ. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ. And this zakah, it is taken from the wealthy. وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And it is distributed amongst the poor. So there are many ayat in the Quran and many ahadith which prove the obligation of az-zakah. So much so that if a person denies the obligation of az-zakah, then he has left the fold of al-Islam. From the nawaqid al-Islam, from the invalidators of al-Islam, is for a person to say that az-zakah is not an obligation. And for this reason, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he became the Khalifa, he fought a war against those people who refused to pay zakah to him. Because this is the right of Allah and the right of creation. And just as they used to give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had to continue giving it to Abu Bakr so he could distribute it amongst the people. And these wars, they were called Hurub al-Ridda, the wars of apostasy. Because some of the tribes who had just accepted Islam, and also the munafiqoon amongst them and the liars amongst them, they started leaving the fold of Islam. And others, whilst they remained a Muslim, but they refused to pay az-zakah. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he took the position of strength and courage and he fought them. And as we said, az-zakah, it is malun makhsus. It is a set amount of wealth which is taken. A certain percentage of wealth which is taken. Min amwalin makhsusa. From certain types of wealth. So zakah is not taken from everything that a person owns. Rather certain types. And the main types from which zakah is taken are four. There are four types of wealth from which a zakah is taken. Firstly, Al-Khariju min al-Ard, min al-Hubub wa al-Thamar. Firstly, the crops and the grains which grow upon the earth. Secondly, Sa'imatu Bahimat al-An'am, cattle which is free grazing, i.e. which eats from the land. Thirdly, Urud al-Tijara, merchandise and stock which a person sells. And then fourthly, al-dhahab wal-fidda, gold and silver. And then any other type of currency which has a value of gold and silver. I.e. pounds and dollars, riyalat, dirahim, and so on and so forth. And there are certain conditions in order for a zakat to be an obligation upon a person. First of all, al-Islam, that he has to be a Muslim. So if a non-Muslim, he gives zakat from his wealth, and he gives it from the right type of wealth, the right percentage, to the right people, still it is not accepted from him. Why? Because he has not fulfilled the primary condition of being a Muslim. Secondly, al-hurriya, freedom. In those days when there were slaves, then zakah was not an obligation upon their slaves. Thirdly, milkun nisab, that a person possesses the minimum threshold of a zakah. So in these four things which we mentioned, the crops, the grains, cattle, merchandise, and gold and silver and currency, there is a minimum threshold which you have to possess. After you possess this minimum threshold, then zakah becomes an obligation upon you. And if you do not possess this minimum amount of wealth, which we will mention, then there is no zakah upon you. The fourth condition is al-milku tam, is complete ownership. The wealth which you are going to give for zakah, you have to own it completely. And then the fifth shart is tamam al-hawl, is that a complete year has to pass over you possessing the minimum threshold. So after you have the nisab, after you have the minimum amount of wealth due to which zakah becomes an obligation, then a whole year has to pass over it, i.e. 12 lunar months. So if during this year the amount of wealth you have goes down and up and then goes down under the threshold again, there's no zakah upon you. Only if a whole year passes over the minimum threshold, then zakah is an obligation upon you. So the first types of wealth is al-hubub al-thamar, are the crops or the grains which grow upon the earth. And Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. O people of Iman, donate, give, meaning in az-zakah, from the pure things which you have earned. وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And also from those things which we bring out from the earth, meaning the crops and the grains which grow upon the earth, you as a farmer, you have to give zakah for it. And what is the minimum threshold? If somebody has a farm, for example, and he has grains growing on it, and when we say grains, we are referring to wheat and barley and rice and corn and things like this. So when we say al-hubub al-thamar, we are not referring to fruits and cucumbers and lettuce, no, certain types of grains and crops. Zakah is an obligation upon them. And you have to have the minimum threshold of grains. And the minimum threshold is khamsatu awsiq, and every wasq is 60 sa'. And one sa' is 4 amdad, 4 handfuls of grain. And in modern terms, one sa' is equal to 3 liters, which is approximate to 3 kilograms. So if a person has 60 sa', meaning 60 times 3 kilograms, i.e. 180 kilograms of crop, then zakah is an obligation upon this grain. So if a person, at the end of the year, a farmer, at the end of the year, he only has 100 kilograms of crop, his earth, his land only produced 100 kilograms, there is no zakah upon him. 110, no zakah. 120, no zakah. Up until he has 60 sa', which is equal to 180, because in each sa' there is taqreeban 3 liters or 3 kilograms. Then now zakah is an obligation. So after he has 180 kilograms of produce in that year, then how much does he have to give? Because we said that az-zakah, it is malul makhsus. It is a certain amount of wealth which we take from this, not all of it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that if this crop, if his land, it was irrigated naturally, meaning water came to it from the clouds, rain, or from canals and rivers, and it was naturally irrigated, then he has to give 1/10 of this crop for a zakah. However, if it has been artificially irrigated, meaning he himself has to use machines and pumps and pipes, or he has to channel and irrigate the water and he has to work on this, then there is 1/20 which he has to give. And when does he give it? At the time of the harvest. Allah said in the Quran, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. Give its right, meaning give the zakah, يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, when you take the harvest. So it isn't once a year, or twice a year, or five times a year, whenever the harvest is. When a person has produce of wheat, or barley, or dates, or corn, and things like this, or rice, then every time he harvests, he checks that, do I have above 60 sa', i.e. 180 kilograms? If I do, then I have to give a zakah. How much zakah do I give? It depends. This crop of mine, was it irrigated naturally, rain from the skies, from the clouds, and from the water from the rivers and the lakes? Then I have to give a tenth. Or was it artificial irrigation through machines and pipes and my own work? Then I give 1/20. And then the next type of zakah is bahimatul an'am, is cattle. And when we say bahimatul an'am, we are referring to three main types of animals: camels, cows, and sheep and goat. This is the meaning of bahimatul an'am. So a person doesn't have to give zakah on every type of animal which he owns. Only bahimatul an'am. And this bahimatul an'am, there is another condition. It has to be sa'imah. And the meaning of sa'imah is that it has to be free grazing for the majority of the year. Meaning it doesn't require you to feed it food for the majority of the year. Rather, it eats from the land and from the grass which is out there on a field without having you to buy food for it for the majority of the year. The second condition is that the bahimatul an'am which you have, you own them in order to keep them for more offspring to be born, and then you sell them. Meaning, if this cattle is for your own self, for your transport, for your work, for milk, for your family, then there's no zakah upon it. Only if it has been, if you own it, linnasal, in order to produce more and more, for there to be more offspring, you are rearing this cattle, then you give a zakah. Ma u'iddat linnasal, that which has been owned and bought, only to be kept, and for there to be more offspring, and then you buy and sell that cattle. And after this, how much zakah do you give from the cattle? There are different classifications. If you have five or more camels, then you give a certain type of camel. And if you have 30 cows, then you give a certain amount of cows. And if you have 40 a sheep or goats, then you give a certain amount. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a lengthy hadith, he mentioned that the one who has 5 to 10 camels, then he gives a camel of zakah which is this age. And the one who has 11 to 20 camels, then he gives a camel of this age. And like this, and the details are mentioned in the books of al-fiqh. Then the third type of zakah is al-dhahab wal-fidda. And al-dhahab wal-fidda is gold and silver, وَمَا يَقُومُ مُقَامَهُمَا, and anything which is now used in place of them. So nowadays we don't deal with gold and silver. We deal with coins and paper, notes, and reals and dirahim, and pounds and dollars. So because this currency is now in place of gold and silver, then it is also an obligation upon it. And Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ, those people who store away their gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and they do not give it and donate it in the way of Allah, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, then give them the glad tidings of the painful punishment. And this is regarding الزَّكَاةِ. And how much money does a person have to possess in order for zakat to be an obligation? If you have with you in your bank account that which is equal to 85 grams of gold, or equal to 595 grams of silver, and a whole year has passed by it, and this amount has not gone below the nisab, i.e. the money which is in your bank, it hasn't gone below being equal to 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver, and this is after your basic needs which you need throughout the year, meaning this is your savings, then zakah becomes an obligation. So for example, when you pay your zakah, you go to the goldsmith and you say to him, at today's market, at today's value, how much is 85 grams of gold valued right now? How much is it worth? Of pure gold, of that which the people use, not jewelry with stones, just the gold itself. How much is 85 grams of gold worth? And he might say to you, for example, just as an example, that 85 grams of gold right now is worth 3,000 pounds, as an example. So in your bank, you look at your savings and all the money you have at home which you have put away. Your savings after your basic needs that you need throughout the year. You see, do I have more than 3,000 pounds? If I have more than 3,000 pounds and a whole year has passed on it. So if it went back down to 1,000 pounds, then there's no zakah. Only if a whole 12 lunar months has passed by above this minimum threshold, then zakah becomes an obligation. And then you give 2.5%. Or 595 grams of silver. Whatever the value of 595 grams of silver is in today's market, on the day you need to pay your zakah, you go to the jeweler and you say to him, what is the value of 595 grams of silver today? If you have, let's say he said it is 1,000 pounds. If you have 1,000 pounds of savings in your account, or with you in your account at home, and a whole year has passed over it, then zakah becomes an obligation. And it is 2.5%. The problem that we have is that the value of gold and silver, it increases and decreases. And right now there is a massive difference between the value of gold and the value of silver. So the value of gold, 85 grams of gold, it is a lot of money. And maybe many people will not have 85 grams of gold worth of money. But 595 grams of silver is much less. And the majority of people will have 595 grams equivalent of silver in terms of pounds and dollars. So which one do we look at? Do we look at having 85 grams of gold in value in money? Or do we look at the 595 grams of silver? The fuqaha, they mention, مَا كَانَ أَحَظُّ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ, that which is most beneficial to the poor people. Meaning, that which is least in value. Because if we said that we have to look at 85 grams of gold equivalent in money, then many people will not pay zakah. And therefore many poor people will not receive a zakah. But if we say no, it is 595 grams of silver, then many people will end up paying a zakah. And therefore more of the poor will benefit. So today, in today's market, it is silver. And of course, there might come a time in the future when gold becomes very cheap and silver becomes very expensive. And as I mentioned, you pay 2.5%. After this, there is urud al-tijara. And the meaning of urud al-tijara is the merchandise or the stock which a businessman or a shopkeeper or an agent he possesses in order to sell. He's advertising it to sell to the people. And the evidence of this being a zakah is the evidence of al-mal being a zakah. Because urud al-tijara, it is from the amwal of the people. And the majority of the businessmen, even the most wealthiest of rich businessmen, in terms of wealth, money in their account, they might not have much. But the assets and the merchandise which they have, this is what is of value. So if we say there is no zakah upon merchandise, only upon just the money you have in your account, then maybe the majority of the most wealthiest of people, they will not pay a zakah. Many people, they are cash poor, but they are rich in their merchandise or the assets which they have in order to sell. So this is the evidence of urud al-tijara. The things which a person possesses are three types. Or we can even say the merchandise or the assets which a person, which a businessman possesses are three types. There are assets and merchandise which he buys in order to keep or to use, or just to keep as an antique, to store it away as an investment so value builds over time. So for example, a person, he has five cars. And he doesn't use all of those cars. Maybe he uses one car and his family uses another car. The other three cars which he has, they are not for sale. They are in his garage. He keeps them maybe as a hobby or as support, or as an investment, or as an antique, or in his showroom, and they are not for sale. There is no zakah upon this type of merchandise or on this type of assets. A person, for example, he has five houses. His main house, and then maybe he has three or four other holiday homes which he visits once or twice in a year. But they are not on rent, neither are they for sale. He keeps them just to increase in value as an investment or to visit once every year. There is no zakah upon them. The second type of merchandise is that which he possesses in order to rent out. So it is not for sale. The same person now, he owns five cars, or he owns five houses. He lives in one of them, or he drives one of his cars. His other four cars, he leases out to the people for money. His other four homes, he leases them out to tenants for rent. There is no zakah upon him on the value of the house or the car, but there is zakah upon him for the rent which is coming to him. Meaning, he looks at his bank account at the end of the year, and the money which he has at home, he puts it all together and he gives 2.5% of it. So if, for example, this person, he has a part-time job which brings him X amount. And then he also has two houses which bring him rent. At the end of the year, after 12 months, he puts all of that money together. He calculates all of that money and he sees, is this above the threshold? Meaning the equivalent of 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver, and has a whole year passed over it, and are these his savings? And then he gives 2.5% of it. Then the third type of thing that a person owns is that which he has for sale. So he has, for example, five houses and they are advertised on a website or with an estate agent and they are for sale. He has five cars, one he uses himself, and the other four, he has them on the street with a for sale sign or with an agent, with a dealer, and they are for sale. Or a shopkeeper in his shop, he has tins of bean and he has rice and he has other things which are for sale. These things, at the end of the year, he takes the equivalent in money and he gives 2.5% of it. So these are the main types of zakah. And then after this, there are certain important matters related to a zakah. First of all, we mentioned that which a person owns and possesses for his own needs, there is no zakah upon it. A person owns 100 camels just as for transport or for work, there's no zakah upon it. A person owns only 5 camels, but to produce offspring and to buy and sell, now there's zakah upon it. So there's, with cars as well, a person owns 10 cars just for his own self, for his own hobby as an investment, there's no zakah upon it. A person owns 2 cars, but they are for sale, i.e. it is his business, he sells them, then there's zakah on their value, 2.5%. Secondly, if a person invests in property, but in order to rent, not to buy and sell the property, only to rent, then there's no zakah upon the property, but there's zakah upon the rent which is coming in like the rest of his wealth. With regards to a person who has loans upon him, or he has money of his with other people, then a person who has loans, his money is with other people, there are 2 types. Either this person, he is muyassir, mali, he is somebody who is able to pay him back. So for example, you have lent me some money, let's say £1,000. And I say to you, this £1,000 I have it in my bank account. Whenever you want it, ask me and I will give it to you, no problem. And you say to me, no problem, keep it with you, I don't need it right now, keep it in your account with you. This person, he has to give zakah of it every single year. Even though the money is not in your account, the money is in his account. But because you can retrieve this money at any time, then you have to give zakah every single year as if the money is in your own account. And then the second type is a person whom you lent money to, but he's in difficulty. You ask him and he says, wallahi, I don't have it this year. In 6 months' time, I might be able to pay you back or I might not be able to pay you. This type of individual, there's no zakah upon it. So when he gets this money off the person and then a whole year goes upon it and it is above the nisab, then he gives the zakah. So when it comes to loans and debts and your money is with somebody else, then this is what you have to look at. That person to whom you have given your money, is he able to pay it back very easily? Anytime you ask him, he'll pay it back to you. Even if it remains in his account, you have to pretend that it is your money in your account, and every single year you have to give the zakah upon it with the rest of your money. But if it is a person who is mu'assir, it is difficult, mumatil, every time you ask him, he delays and delays, then there's no zakah upon it. It's as if you do not own it until you own it, and then you give zakah after a whole year. As for a person who has with him money of another person, I took a loan of £10,000 from another individual and it has remained in my account for a whole year, then I have to give zakah of it. So a loan in this regard, it does not prevent a zakah being given. And with regards to people who own shares and stocks, and this is a question which is often asked, then this is done for 2 purposes. A person, he buys shares just as an investment. He isn't buying and selling in the shares and trading in shares. He has bought them, perhaps he bought them 10 years ago, and every year he just keeps them as an investment. Their value is going up and up, and perhaps every year there are certain dividends from these shares. This person, he does not give a zakah on the equivalent value of those shares, but he gives it on the dividends which come to him every year, like the rest of his money. So if, for example, in a particular year, this person was paid out £500 from these shares, he adds it to his bank account and his annual income and whatever he has at home, for example, he puts it all together and he gives 2.5% of it if the other conditions are fulfilled. It is above the nisab and a whole year has passed upon it. And then the second type of person, he buys and sells shares. So he advertises that he has 1,000 shares in such a company to the value of something and it is for sale. This comes under urud tijara. So when the time of zakah is an obligation, this is like his merchandise. He looks at the values of these shares and he gives 2.5% of it according to the value of the market. And this is another question that a person often asks is, if a person owns merchandise, is it at the price of when he bought it, when he purchased, is it the purchase price or is it the selling price? Because for a shopkeeper, there's a big difference between the price when he bought the stock and that which he is selling. And the ulama, they always say, على قيمة السوق, the price of the market. Mean that which you are, that which you are saying, that which the poor look at. So the poor, when they see the food and it is priced at something, the zakah is on that value, not on the value of that which you bought yourself at a discounted price. And when you sell something, when a shopkeeper sells something, if he's selling an individual item, it's a certain price. And if he's selling it as wholesale, then there's another price. So you might sell one thing, let's say for example £5. If somebody buys 20 of them from you, then you sell it at discounted by 30% as an example. What price does he calculate of zakah? Is it the £5 as an individual item or is it £3 as a wholesale item? Sheikh Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah, he mentions that if your trade is selling in wholesale, this is the majority of your trade, then you, it is according to the wholesale price. And if the majority of your trade is single items, then you sell it according to the price of the single item which you are selling. And if it is a mixture, wallahu a'lam, then a person calculates. A person thinks that 60% of my business, it is wholesale. And 40% of my business, it is single items. And then he calculates it like this. Also with regards to gold jewelry. Jewelry which women wear. Bracelets and earrings and necklaces and things like this. The ulama, the fuqaha, they differed. Whether there's zakah on it and there's no zakah upon it. And Shaykh ibn Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimullah, he mentions that that which is correct and more safe is for a person to pay its zakah like the rest of wealth. Also, notice when we mentioned the conditions of zakah, we did not mention puberty. We did not mention any age. We did not mention al-aql, a person being able to think. So even if there is a child or an orphan or somebody who has a mental disability, as long as they fulfill the conditions of zakah, then zakah is taken from them. So there may be an orphan, there may be a majnoon, there may be a young child who is only 3 or 4 years old and yet they possess £100,000. And this is very easy to imagine, inheritance. You have a child and the mother and the father passes away. He is now an orphan and he's only 3 or 4 years old. Yet his parents left behind £200,000. So he's from the richest of the people, even though he's majnoon or yateem or a sagheer. Zakah is still given. Why? Because a zakah, it is haqqun wajibun fil mal. It is an obligation upon the money. It is not an obligation upon the person. So as-salah was-sawm haqqun ala al-insan al-mukallaf. As-salah and fasting, it is an obligation upon the person. And for this reason we say, if he does not have aql, no salah. If he is under a tamiz, no salah. And so on and so forth. But when it comes to zakah, it is haqqun wajibun ala al-mal. It is an obligation upon the wealth, not upon the person. We do not look at the person at all. We only look at the wealth. So if the wealth fulfills these conditions which we have mentioned, then zakah becomes an obligation. Even if the person is a yateem, saghir, majnoon, and so on and so forth. And then finally, who is zakah given to? Is it given to every single individual, every single Islamic cause? Or is it given to certain types of people, certain types of causes? And we said it is لِطَائِفَةٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ. Zakah can only be given to certain groups of people or in certain avenues. And these avenues were mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 60, when Allah said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ. Verily, الصَّدَقَاتُ meaning الزَّكَاةِ. It is for the fuqara, the poor, والمساكين, the needy, والعاملين عليها, and those whose job it is to collect and distribute الزَّكَاةِ, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and those whose hearts we want to soften, وَفِرْ رِقَابِ, and the slaves, والغارمين, and those who are indebted, وفي سبيل الله, and in the path of Allah, وابن السبيل, and the wayfarer, فريضة من الله والله عليم الحكيم. The point is, Allah mentioned this ayah, 8 groups of people or 8 avenues towards which we can give a zakah. The first of them is al-fuqara. And the faqir is the one who does not have anything, i.e. he is absolutely poor. And the second is al-masakeen. And there is a difference between al-faqir and al-miskeen. So the miskeen is somebody who has something. Maybe he has, for example, enough money to live for a month or 6 months, but then he doesn't have anything more than this. Whereas the faqir does not have anything at all. A miskeen might be a person who has a job, he has some income, but this income is not enough for him to pay for his bills and his children and his food, even though he has an income. A miskeen may be living in a house, perhaps he owns that house, yet he doesn't have enough money to pay the bills for the next 2 or 3 months. He's going to struggle after 2 or 3 months or to pay for food. Whereas the faqir has nothing at all. He doesn't have a house, he doesn't have any income at all. He has lost everything. So yes, in this country there are no fuqara, especially among the Muslims. Wallahu a'lam, I don't know a fuqara amongst the Muslims. But are there masakeen? Yes, there are masakeen. Even amongst the Muslims, there are masakeen amongst the Muslims. So there are women who have been divorced and they don't have anything. There are brothers who are maybe receiving benefits, but their benefits have been delayed. I know of an individual, only a couple of days ago, he owns 2 houses. And yet he didn't have enough money, he didn't have enough money for petrol to come to the masjid. In my town, only 2 or 3 days ago. And we needed it for something. And Qadrullah, he mentioned that somehow he found £10 in order to buy petrol with it, even though he has 2 houses. But sometimes what happens is, he's living in 1 house, the other house is for rent. The house which is for rent, maybe after 2 or 3 months he will receive the rent. For these 2 or 3 months he has nothing to live by. And then bills come atop of him, and then maybe his car needs fixing, and then his children need paying, and therefore he doesn't have the money for 2 or 3 months. After that he will have something. So this type of person we give him from our zakah. He comes under being a miskeen, even though he is not a faqir, even though he owns a car, and he owns a house, and he has another house, but his situation dictates that he is a miskeen. The third type of people is وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, those whose hearts are weak. Meaning, we have a person who has just accepted Islam, he's new to Islam. If we were to give him something from a zakah, then he will think, look how good Islam is, how generous the Muslims are, and it will strengthen his iman. Or we have a person who is not a Muslim, but he's close to Islam. He's still a kafir, but close to Islam. And if we give him something from a zakah, he will think, again, how generous and good Islam is, how many virtues it has, and therefore he will become a Muslim. This one is deserving of a zakah. And afwan, we forgot al-amilina alayha, those who are working in collecting zakah and giving a zakah. This refers to that individual who the waliul amr, the Islam Muslim leader, he has employed for this job. The person who does this, he will need to travel the land and collect the crops and the grains and money, and he will have to go and collect animals. And therefore he will have to take time out from his work and from his family. And therefore the waliul amr, shari'i, the Muslim ruler of that country, those people who work in this ministry of zakah, ministry in which deals with zakah, he can give some percentage of that zakah as a wage for them. And this is decided by the waliul amr and is not up to every individual. Then we mentioned mu'allafati qulubuhum, then wa fir riqab, those slaves, you can buy their freedom with a zakah. So if there is a slave and the owner of that slave says that I demand X amount for this slave to be freed, Islam encourages us to pay this money and to free the slave. Wal gharimin, and those people who are drowning in debt. And this doesn't refer to a person who has a house on mortgage and a car on credit and goes to holiday on finance. and buys a convenient finance and then he says, I am in debt. Rather, this one has to give a zakah. But the one who is indebted by his debts. And then, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and in the path of Allah. And وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it refers to the ghazi, to the soldier, to the Muslim warrior, the mujahid, who does not have anything left to provide for himself or his family, and he has gone out for jihad, the shari'i jihad, and therefore we are encouraged to give towards him, or for his family to spend for them. And then finally, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and the traveller. And the meaning of the traveller is the one who is travelling, and he has no communication with his family, or he's stuck somewhere, he has no income, nobody can send him money, and therefore he's in need of money. And the only thing to clarify here is the issue of giving zakah fi sabilillah, giving it in the path of Allah. There are some people who think that the meaning of fi sabilillah is giving it in anything which helps al-Islam. So for example, they give it for the masjid, they give it for a conference, they give it for a hospital, they give it to build for any type of da'wah, and they say this is the meaning of fi sabilillah, and this is incorrect. The meaning of fi sabilillah is al-jihad fi sabilillah. It doesn't mean in any Islamic cause. And therefore, zakah cannot be given for the masajid, for the building of the masajid. Zakah cannot be given for the building of a school. Zakah cannot be given for the building of a hospital. Zakah cannot be given for the building of an orphanage. Rather, it is given to the orphan who is poor. Because in these eight types, Allah did not mention the yatim. As we mentioned, a yatim might be somebody who is very rich. His father passed away and he inherited thousands of pounds. So only if the yatim is faqir or miskeen or gharimin, then zakah is given. And if fi sabilillah meant give it in any avenue, any cause of Islam, then why did Allah specify eight certain types? Allah could have said in this ayah, innama sadaqatu fi sabilillah, that the sadaqah, the zakah, it is in the way of Allah. Because the faqir is one of the avenues, miskin is fi sabilillah, gharim is fi sabilillah, firriqab is fi sabilillah, all of this is fi sabilillah. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he specified eight avenues to which we can give zakah, it shows it cannot be given to any other avenue. We suffice with this, bi tawfiqillahi azza wa jal, and next week we'll go through as-sawm wal-hajj. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. If there's any questions you have regarding the issues we discussed today, you're welcome to ask your questions. Tafadhal.
I have two questions. One is regarding the sadaqa being given. You said the traveller. For example, from time to time you see there are a lot of young women who travel to different countries to gain knowledge. And
yeah.
Sometimes they may not have money to travel, or they may not have money to sustain themselves out there.
Yeah.
That be considered as one, and the other one is you said giving to the poor.
Yeah.
So the family members come under the category of the poor.
So with regards to the traveller, the ulama, they mention that the traveller is the one who is on a journey when qata'at alayhi sabil, and his means of provisions have been cut off from him. So perhaps we have, let's say, somebody who's travelled as a student of knowledge, and his family was sending him money, and he isn't poor, but his family is sending him money. Then all of a sudden, let's say communication breaks down, a war breaks out in that land, and now he has no communication with his family and nobody who can send him money. This type of person, now he is Ibn Sabil. So not every traveller is worthy of a zakah, and not every person who travels in order to seek knowledge is worthy of a zakah. And for this reason, it isn't correct for a student of knowledge or for a person from the youth to say, I'm going to travel, seek knowledge, and my income will be that which people give. And then he takes from the people. No. A person, he prepared himself, and he took his provisions, and he saved enough money, and he has certain provisions, his families and his friends maybe are sending him money, then all of a sudden, Qaddar Allah, things stop, communications break, he's in a situation where no longer money has come, then he's worthy of az-zakah. And the with regards to family, family are two types. There are those members of your family who it is a wajib upon you to spend upon them aslan. So like your wife and your children, and your mother and your father, and your grandparents, for example, it is an and your children's children, it is an obligation upon you to spend upon them aslan. This is an obligation. And then there are other members of your family from rahim, from your cousins and your uncles and your, you know, faraway cousins, that it isn't wajib upon you to spend upon them. We mean wujubun shar'i. So those people you give az-zakah. As for those whom it is an obligation upon you to spend anyway, you don't give zakah upon them. Rather, from your wealth, the first thing you do is you take out what they need and what you need, and then any savings upon that you give a zakah. So zakah is not wajib upon you towards a person upon whom it is aslan wajib upon you to give zakah, to spend upon them. Wife, children, and parents, and grandparents, and so on and so forth. All of you give zakah?
Yeah, to only one individual, or maybe two or three individuals.
That is up to a person. So you can give all of your money, and the money of yourself and your brothers and sisters, for example, to only one individual, from the fuqara or the masakeen. Or you can divide your own money between 10 people and give it as you want. And in this, a person has to always look at مَا كَانَ حَظًّا لِلْفُقَرَى. What is more beneficial to the fuqara? So if it is more beneficial for you to give a large amount of money to a particular person, and therefore you've set him up for the rest of his life, and he can earn with that, then he's free from needing people, and that is more beneficial. But if we're in a situation in which there are many more people now, and each one needs their bread, then you divide your money and you give it to them. So a person looks at it like this. And it is more recommended for a person to give it to his relatives than other people. And the ulama mentioned that when a person gives his zakat to his relatives, then he has fulfilled two rights. The rights of silatul rahim, and also the rights of az-zakah. So this is always more better.
What happens if you are poor and you've only earned money and you have to give zakah, would you give it?
No, if there's a poor person, then he doesn't have to give zakah. If a person's poor, let's say a person's earning £5,000. But this £5,000 is not enough for him. He needs to pay his bills, and he needs to eat and buy clothes, and it's not enough for him. Then there's no zakah. You only pay zakah when you have savings, meaning you've got more money, you're not poor anymore, then you give zakah.
Do you have to inform the person that you're giving zakah to that this is zakah, or can you hide that to preserve his, maybe his honor?
No, la yalzam. It's not something which has to be mentioned that this is a zakah. So you can, for example, put it in a white envelope and post it through the houses of people. And this is something that we do every year in my town in Nelson. We collect a set, I think, £2,000 or £3,000 we collect from the people of zakah, and we collect it for the masakin who are in this country. So we know of certain sisters, maybe some new Muslims, maybe like this elder who we came across recently, and we'll give them £300 or £400 just in an envelope. We post it through the door. They don't know who it's come from, where it's come from, but they understand it's zakah, and we know who those people are. Also, tfadal akhi.
Sorry,
tfadal, go ahead.
The zakah, should it be paid in the country that you reside in, or can you take it out of the country and give it to a different country?
If it is zakah, then it isn't given anywhere that you want to do so. If it is zakah, you can give it anywhere, in any country. So if you have, for example, relatives who are poor, it's more recommended to give it out there. Whatever is more beneficial for the poor people, that is your choice. As long as it's within those 8 categories which we have mentioned. But then there are other types of, we can say, charity, which is recommended to be distributed locally. So for example, al-aqiqa and al-udhiya, the animal which is slaughtered in Eid al-Adha, and even perhaps zakat al-fitr, then it is more recommended to be given in the locality. Especially al-aqiqa and al-udhiya. Aqiqa, when there's a new bone and you slaughter an animal, and the udhiya, Eid al-Adha, the whole purpose behind this isn't necessarily charity. It is also to foster community relations amongst the community. So you keep a third for yourself and your family, you give a third to your friends and your relatives and your neighbors, and you give a third to the poor who are out there. As for zakah, it can be given wherever. No. And then we also have, brothers, zakatul fitr. And zakatul fitr, this is the zakah which is given once a year at the end of Ramadan. And this is an obligation upon every single individual who is under your authority and wilaya. Whether it is young, old, male, female. In fact, it is even recommended to give for the fetus in the womb of the mother if it has passed 120 days. And how much is given? One sa' for every individual. So if there is you, your wife, three children, and then your father who is not earning and he is under your guardianship, then you as the husband gives it for all of these people. One sa' meaning four handfuls, meaning we said 3 kilos is one sa' for every individual from wheat or rice or barley or corn or dates or whatever is the staple food of the people in that locality. So if, for example, in this country, people live on potatoes, this is a staple in this country, potatoes or rice or wheat or whatever it is, then this is given. And it is recommended to be given before Salatul Eid. It cannot be given after Salatul Eid. And it is recommended to be given even Maghrib, the day before. And it is allowed to be given 1 or 2 days before Eid al-Fitr. And this, as I mentioned, is an obligation ala kulli saghirin wa kabirin wa dhakarin wa untha, upon every male, female, young and old, as long as they have with them sufficient amount of wealth. Now,
Will you have to pay money if you're ill but you still have savings for zakah?
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're ill or old or young, as long as you have money, which is a lot of money, then you have to give zakah. So we, as I mentioned, we don't look at the people. The person might be young or old or ill or male or female. He might even be an orphan. But if he is rich and he has the money, he has to give in a zakah. No. There's one question that nobody's asked and I'm surprised by. Is he allowed to give charity to a kafir? It's a question that people often ask. Is he allowed for a person to give zakah, to give charity to a kafir? Az-zakah, meaning zakatul mal, the zakah which you give every year, this cannot be given to a non-Muslim. Unless he is mu'allafatu qulubuhum. From those people who we said, are you very new to Islam or very close to Islam? If we give zakah, we'll come into Islam, then it can be given here. Some of the ulama mention, even if it is, for example, a ruler who is tyrant, a non-Muslim ruler is tyrant, a country who is going to wage a war, and in order to protect the Muslim, you give them some of zakah to protect the Muslims, this is allowed. Apart from that, we cannot give a zakah to non-Muslims. As for other charity, which you give from your own selves, then this is allowed. But there is two conditions to this. The first condition is that kafir, he cannot be waging a war against you or against the Muslims. So if he's somebody who is fighting you, or he's somebody who is exiling you from your lands, then no money is given to him. Why? Because he will use that money against you, against the rest of the Muslims. And the second condition or guideline which some of the ulama mention is that if you're going to give zakah, if you're going to give sadaqah, if you're going to give voluntary charity to non-Muslim or non-Muslim charity, don't do it through another non-Muslim charity. Do it through one of your own charities or your own self. Because if the money is going to the poor non-Muslim through a non-Muslim charity, those non-Muslims will think, look, it is the non-Muslims who are generous, even though the money may have come from you. But at least if it comes from your hands or from a Muslim charity, even if it goes to the non-Muslim, they will know this is the fadl of al-Islam. This is the virtue and the generosity of al-Islam. And Allah said in the Quran, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكِمْ أَن تَبُرُّوهُمْ. That Allah does not forbid you from those people who do not fight you upon your religion, and neither do they exile you from your lands, that you show goodness to them. And charity is from al-birr. Charity is from showing goodness. So, cancer research or these other charities, it is permitted for a person to give charity to them, but try to show them that this is from Islam and from the generosity of you being a Muslim. We suffice with that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.